You are listening to Personal Branding Exposed with Megan McNeil. Each episode, we'll explore different areas of personal branding and how you can build, maintain, and leverage off your own personal brand. Here's your host, Megan.
As on Personal Branding Exposed, and today I have got Sharni Mwanda with me, and she's going to tell us all about her story and how she has now ended up starting her own practice in family law. Hey, Sharni, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. You're my first LinkedIn Live, so I'm quite excited.
Oh, awesome. Now, Sharni, you are in family law. Can you tell people a little bit about what family law actually is in case they're a bit confused?
Sure. So we deal with all issues relating to mainly sort of separation. So when a family has separated, we deal with issues relating to children's matters, financial, so property settlement, divorce. We do also deal with things like surrogacy and adoption. So it's not all separated families, but generally people like to think of us as divorce lawyers, I suppose. But we do with other areas as well relating to adoption and surrogacy.
Amazing. And when you talk about family law and sometimes divorce as well, that'll be for de facto couples. It's not always married people you'll be dealing with. Is that right?
Correct. Not at all. So especially these days, I think when I first started, there wasn't as much, but definitely these days, it's just as much de facto couples as it is married couples that we deal with.
And I suppose we've got the complexities of different same-sex marriage and all sorts that we didn't have because in Australia, you know, that only became a thing a few years ago, or officially a thing, which is amazing. So your line of work, I suppose, has gone from quite black and white to, you know, quite 3D, it's quite dimensional.
Definitely. I do think I've now been in the industry for 19 years, so practicing for the last 14 years post-admission. And I would say there's definitely been an evolution and a complexity that's added to families. You know, we're now dealing with a lot of blended families, second marriages, third marriages. The complexity of the family dynamics that we have is definitely, it's an evolution. So it's forever evolving. We're forever dealing with new issues. So it keeps us on its toes for sure.
Now, Sharni, at 15, you're sitting in the classroom thinking, I'm going to help people when they want to get divorced. Like, what was 15-year-old Sharni thinking she was going to do when she grew up?
Funnily enough, I actually did want to be a lawyer at 15. It's one of those things that I'm not sure whether it was my parents' idea initially or my idea. But I remember for as long as possible that I either wanted to be a lawyer or a florist. And I suspect my parents probably pushed me towards the lawyer side. And I don't know why, because I love flowers. I still to this day love flowers. But I was a really voracious reader when I was younger. I remember, you know, back in those days, it was getting the Babysitter's Club, and I would read the whole series of it when I was really young. And there were always books in my household. So my parents are really big readers. So I think it was probably the combination of being a reader and loving books and loving absorbing information. And then also my parents would say I'm a good debater. So I like to argue. Ironically, that's not what I do now, but I think the idea might have come about from those two personality traits that then got me into thinking I wanted to be a lawyer. So that was always what I wanted to do. I didn't know it was family law. But I always wanted to be a lawyer. And then I fell into sort of loving family law when I was a paralegal at Legal Aid. So whilst I was studying, I got to do paralegal work at Legal Aid, which back then we got to advise on the information line, which I don't think they do now. But it was a really fantastic introduction to different types of law. So we got to do family law, criminal law, minor civil law, and just give really basic advice with a supervising solicitor. And I had amazing supervising solicitors back then. They were just, they're still in practice now. They were, I think, quite good mentors for me. And I fell in love with family law from then. And I don't think I can see myself doing anything else, to be honest with you.
When we think of lawyers, I mean, because it's like any discipline, you know, we don't really know what it's like. We just got TV to go with, and like I think of Ally McBeal, Suits, The Good Wife, etc. Who really portrays on TV what it's like to be a family lawyer? Because they're all a bit more criminal and litigation and the kind of gritty stuff.
Yeah, and it is one of those things that I think a lot of people have this image that we are like suits, you know, in these amazing offices, storming into the courtroom, getting to put something down, and family law is not at all like that. And if it is like that, we're probably doing it wrong. So it's one of those things where really the issues of what we're trying to deal with is work out how this separated family can move on and how what's the best way to deal with it. So it's not as glamorous as I think people like to think of. We're normally dealing with people in the most traumatic time of their life. So it's, you know, it's hard, it's emotionally draining, but it's really rewarding when you get to see someone move on from a separation. It's
interesting you say that, because, you know, we think of those programs, we think power suits, etc. And anytime I've ever seen you, when you've been presenting or I've seen you on the terrace, etc., you're a lot more flowy, because I guess, like you've just said, you're dealing with people through a really personal and traumatic experience. And I suppose one of your biggest clients is actually children. You know, you have to soften.
Yeah, definitely. So look, when I first started out in family law, I did think, and I was at a bigger firm back then, and we did deal with really high-end complex litigation. And normally that was sort of, my clients were quite wealthy and they were generally older males. I really thought I had to power suit. And I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but I do think as I've gotten older and I've probably more come to terms with what the issues are that we're dealing with and the state that the people that we're dealing with are coming to us, I don't know that they want us to be power suited up. We certainly wear jackets in court, we're required to, but I just find that if I'm wearing something that's a little bit more approachable, I just find that clients then soften themselves. A lot of the issues that we're dealing with are really intimate personal details. So, you know, when I have a client first come in to speak to me, they're generally, if they've just separated, and this is whether it's their decision to separate or it's not, they tend to be overwhelmed. They tend to not know what it is they have to do next. You know, it's one of those things that if I'm putting up a barrier between me and a client, I just find that it's not that useful. If I'm just wearing sort of more flowy outfits, I just find they then connect, you know, they just relax a little bit more. They're not feeling like, I don't know who this person is. And I really, most of what I'm trying to do these days is break down those barriers to show clients that we are just normal. We're not these high-rise, you know, fancy lawyers that you can't speak to, because unless you've got that trust with clients, they might not want to tell me what their fears are about their children and what's going to happen for their future. And that doesn't make my job easier. It certainly doesn't make the journey better for them.
So Sharni actually has a fairly strong personal brand on Instagram. And as anyone who listens knows that I love a good scroll on Instagram. It's my fun place to be. And that's really important, because you do come across, like before I'd even met you in person, it was very clear what you do, what you're passionate about, and that your family is part of this. You know, your family is so important to you. So you're demonstrating that you understand the importance for your clients as well. And I think that's really important, because it's, you know, it's going to a lawyer is scary, whether it's something that's not personal. You know, it's you're going to lawyer, you're going to court, you're suing someone, or you're buying something, or you need contracts, you know, stuff that we think is quite boring, but we need to tick a box. It's scary. You know, you're dealing with feelings as well as the law, you know, ticking boxes.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I love that we met on Instagram. I must admit, the more, I was always quite scared when I started social media to show more of who I am. You know, you do have this idea that as lawyers, we shouldn't show any human aspect of ourselves. You know, we've got to always be professional, which I agree with. We should be professional. But I do think when someone's trusting me with their separation or with their family law issue, they probably want to know a bit about who I am as a person. They want to know that we're going to be able to get along. They want to know that what my values are. And I find that the more I show who I am, one, I connect with great other business owners. I get to connect with you, which is how we met, through social media. And I get to connect with clients so that they get to see that aspect of me. And I find that when they then come in, they're feeling a little bit more relaxed and I'm feeling a little bit more relaxed, because they've, you know, they know who I am. I'm comfortable that they're feeling a little bit more at ease, which is the whole point of this, is to make clients feel that this really difficult journey can be made as easy as possible. You know, we're here to try and make it as easy as possible.
Yeah, and like word of mouth is always king in marketing, whether it's marketing yourself or marketing a product, a business, whatever it is. And, you know, you make it quite clear what it is that you do. And I know that it makes it easier for me to recommend you. You know, we've actually had a situation where one of my friends was going through a breakup and you were the first person I recommended to her because I knew quite clearly who you are, what you do, and I trusted you based on that, because that's what building your personal brand is all about, building that familiarity which builds trust. Like, it just can't not build trust if you're doing it correctly. So I love how you've positioned yourself. I think you've set yourself up amazing for starting your new business yourself. Now, I want to talk about that. What has led you to go out on your own into the big scary world of having your own business?
Yeah, look, it's hard because it was a really tricky decision. I actually, and you would know, we met when I was at my old firm, and I really loved my old firm. They were so amazing with me trying to deal with the juggle, which is kids and husband and working and trying to do all of that. But it really came to a point where I just, the flexibility of being an employee versus the flexibility of going out on your own, I just really wanted to do what was right for my family. It came to a point where I was just so busy. The work is always there, unfortunately, in family law, and COVID did not help that. You know, whenever there's pressure on families, we've always found it was the same with the global financial crisis. As soon as there are these financial pressures, you know, marriage is hard or relationships are hard as it is. That added pressure, unfortunately, sometimes is what tends to cause more conflict and then leads to a separation. So we were just so busy. And I'm really honest about my juggle, you know, juggling with two little girls and my husband, who's really busy as well with his own business. It was one of those decisions where I just didn't feel like I was servicing the clients in the way that I really want to. And being on my own and being able to take on hopefully like less clients and be able to give them the service that I really want to give them is definitely the aim. And, you know, when I was thinking about what I wanted this firm to be, I guess that's it. It was really focusing on what do I want my client's journey to be? How do I make that as good as I can in a really difficult situation? And I don't lie about this. There's no sparkles and rainbows. I've got no magic wand. But it's really just how do I make this as easy as possible? Because you realise when, you know, now that we're juggling two little girls and I've got my husband and trying to juggle around his schedule, you know, me trying to see a professional of any capacity is really tricky trying to fit into their day. You know, how do I juggle this? I've got school drop-off, I've got pick-up. So I guess that's part of it is I just want to be able to be flexible with clients, be able to offer them what works, if that's after hours, you know, if that's on weekends, whatever works. Because if you're, especially if you're a parent and you've separated, you know, there might not be someone there to help you have the kids. So it's working around that. And I think going through COVID, which allowed us to be even more flexible with clients who had kids at home. So during COVID lockdown, the first time back in March, I was doing a lot of after hours Zooms with clients. So once kids went to sleep, both mine and theirs, we would then have our appointments. And I just found clients really appreciating that they could put all of that aside and breathe a bit and then have an appointment. So it's just about trying to offer that flexibility.
I think that's fantastic because you really are giving them exactly what they need when they need it. Because, you know, so many things are 9 to 5 and it's very difficult. If you work a 9 to 5 trying to get to the bank or trying to get somewhere that's only open when you're actually working as well. And we don't all work in flexible workspaces where we're able to nip out or do what we need to. So being able to take that and go into consideration, well, these people have got families, they're going through a really tough time emotionally. They might not be able to come out at the times that, you know, would be convenient for most people. So you're making a, you're basically keeping your door open for them at times that work for you and your family, but also them and their family. That's
yeah, real. And I do find since having my own family, it has really, I was talking about this last night with another family lawyer, it has really deepened my understanding of really the pressures that you're dealing with, you know, and what you're trying to juggle. Obviously, that's with me having a partner, but that's, it's only more so and therefore requires more of us to try and assist, really. That's the aim, hopefully.
Something that really drew me to Sharni was, because I say this all the time, that if you are yourself, you don't actually have any competition because nobody can be you. And I was super impressed every time we've caught up and chatted how supportive and how much collaboration there is within you and your community. Because, you know, these you just said you caught up with another family lawyer last night. You know, a lot of other people, they might network and go to the same kind of networking events as people in the same profession, but they're not actually collaborating or doing things together. Can you talk to me about the ways that you're collaborating and how that's actually helped with your career, now your business, and really your personal brand?
Yeah, thank you. There is, it's obviously my big passion project is collaborative practice. Anyone who sees me on Instagram or LinkedIn or just talks to me for 30 seconds will know that this is my big passion project. And look, I think as well, collaborative practice, which is a type of dispute resolution, isn't really that different than what we do generally as family lawyers. It's not every family lawyer, but a lot of us, we're a tight-knit community, especially here in Perth. We generally will work together collaboratively. Not everyone, but most of us do. We tend to get along, and getting along doesn't diminish you advocating for your clients. So I do think sometimes clients who have an image of what lawyers should be really think going in and arguing every point is what's going to help them. And to be honest, and I'm really frank about this with clients, we could argue every point. It's only going to cost clients more. That is all legal fees that they try and do. So one of the things that I discovered when going to my previous firm, and they are really well known for collaborative practice, I actually hadn't dealt with it at all before then, but it's just one other type of dispute resolution process that clients can access if they wanted to go down this. And it's based on the idea of trying to work together as a team, as a separated couple. You both have a family lawyer acting for you. You'll have a financial professional, so that's generally a tax accountant or accountant or a financial planner, and also having a mental health professional. We sort of refer to them as a facilitator or a family facilitator. It's really about getting all of us together to work on the issues that deal with them. That's not just parenting issues. I've done quite a few where it's just property, and it's really just looking at what are the issues that this family have to deal with, the two of them, this couple, what do they have to deal with, and how do we do that in the best way possible? And I find working together as a team, one, it's much nicer. It's a such nicer way to practice because you're working together to help this family. But I find that some of the solutions that we come up with are solutions that you wouldn't ordinarily get. So we're not allowed to write letters to each other. So there's none of this positioning, this is my position, you then tell me your position, let's write a letter back and forth about that. It's about getting together as a group and talking about what will actually suit this family moving on. And we've come up with some great solutions that I, hand on heart, don't think would have worked for a family, including child arrangements. So they're ones that I don't know if we just stuck to a position and didn't talk about what our needs are and what our interests are under that, we wouldn't have really dealt with those issues. It's the same with property. We've had a separated couple be able to keep a business. We've had another separated couple who are in their later years be able to keep a family farm together in a way that allowed them to pass on what we always refer to as their empire, but to pass that on to their children, their adult children. There's no way we could have done that without having all of us together and talking through, which includes having a mental health professional there, usually a psychologist or a social worker or a counsellor, be able to talk through a lot of what is emotional issues that deal with why we take a position. So yeah, it's my passion project. I'm going to have to stop because otherwise I'll just keep talking forever about it.
No, I love this. I came across this because I know James that you work with on that project through Rotary, and I didn't quite understand what it was all about at that point until I met you, and then it all became a little bit more clear. And I just think that it's beautiful. I think you know, my word for 2020 was collaboration, and I just think that there's no better way for you to move forward, whether it's in business, whether it's personally, or whether it's legally. know, if you've got any kind of issue, if you can collaborate and you've got the support of the right people, it makes such a difference. So I think that's an amazing way to look at things. And, you know, like I said before, going to a lawyer is scary, no matter what the circumstances. So, you know, down those barriers so people can understand what the process is and, you know, making it less scary, I think is really important.
Yeah, and look, it's not a process for everyone. It's not like I think every single couple can do this process. It's just adding more things to the toolbox. You know, what I find for clients is when they come in to see me, they deserve to know there are all of these different ways to deal with it. And every family is different. Every separated couple is different. One of you might really want to do mediation, but the other one doesn't want to. You know, it's working together to what would be the best way, which also means cost-effective way to try and deal with this and get you both to move on as quickly as we can, because that's, we find the longer you're in the process of dealing with those issues, you know, no one's happy. Everyone deserves to move on as quickly as possible, and we want to try and do that. So it's a tool that I think is great for that, but there is also other tools like arbitration. You know, there's all different types. I just think clients need to know all of them so they can make a good decision about it.
Now, hopefully nobody who's listening is thinking of breaking up their family or splitting up with a partner at the moment, but I've heard you mention before what the first steps are when you are considering breaking up with someone, and it isn't just to run straight to your lawyer or your accountant. Can you just give some people who are listening the first couple of steps that they might want to take if they are considering breaking up?
Yeah. And look, you'll hear people say, lawyers say, look, go see a lawyer straight away. I probably, and this might be controversial, I actually think it's not always the best way. I do think legal advice is good when you're ready to deal with it. But most of the time, when I speak to a client over the phone, if they've literally just separated in that last week, they're not ready to give away the information and be able to absorb what I have. And lawyers, you know, you don't want to spend that money unless you have to. So I normally say to clients, really have a think about what it is that you think would work for your family in a way that isn't just, well, this is what I want and the other person will have to agree. Have a think about your reasonings behind what it is that you're thinking might be a way through this. Think about where you want to be in 5 years' time. Think about where you want to be in 10 years' time. Have a think about at your children, if you've got them, at your children's wedding, what is it that you would want them to be thinking? Do you all want to be in the room together? You have a think about those sorts of issues and then look at what do you think would be the assistance for you. That might be, and depending on the circumstances, it might be getting some financial advice. It might be potentially getting some help with the grieving process. You know, it's really thinking about or going to see a lawyer if you really just want to get that legal advice. We do have quite a lot of people come in prior to separation, which isn't bad if they're considering things and want to just know about what's the journey, what is it about. There's nothing wrong with getting that advice, but I just want to always make sure it's clear to clients. You know, we are, as lawyers, and this again might be controversial in the legal field, but we are just really one cog in separation. You know, there are so many other factors that people have to deal with. I always think carefully about what you really need advice on before doing that, and research the lawyer that you're going to see. You know, make sure that you're comfortable with how they want to deal with it before just going to anyone. You know, it's one of those things that I think you've really got to be comfortable with giving away the information, your personal information, to that person to make sure that they can do the best they can for you.
Yeah, you don't want to be hasty in the heat of the moment when it's just all gone down, I guess. And everyone's situation is completely different. I know that you've now spoken to Olivia Summerhill that I had on the show a couple of months ago. And, you know, she's helping women to be able to get themselves financially secure before they move on, because it's, you know, it's easy to say, you know, leaving them, this is a terrible situation, I want out. But it's not that easy to actually leave, especially when there's children involved and we don't have that financial security to be able to make that next move. So you're so right. It's not something you can do when it's emotionally charged, but you do need to get that support and you do need to speak to financial advisors, health professionals, lawyers, accountants. You know, there's a lot of people involved in the process.
Yeah, and look, it really depends on your circumstances as well. It might be that there's a little conflict between the two of you and you both want to have a discussion about how you're going to separate. If you've just got a house together, no children, and you just want to talk about how we're going to do that, there's nothing wrong with having that discussion together and working it out amongst yourselves, and then one of you getting advice about we want to get this agreement done. So we do have clients that come in that say, we've actually come up with the agreement, we just want to get it documented, and we talk to them about how to do that and the ways of doing that. And look, that's a really cost-effective way of being able to move on. It really just depends on your circumstances and what would be best. And if you're unsure of the best way forward, then I would always say, see someone who is experienced in any of those areas who can talk to you about where to guide you. So James McLeod's a good example. You know, it's one of those where if he sees a client who may have issues relating to separation, it will be something that he might say, look, you might also need some legal advice as well. So, you know, it's just working together with people that will be able to help guide you if you're not sure of what to do.
Excellent. Well, Stefan is one of my biggest fans and will be watching this, and he got really he was a bit upset after the Olivia interview. He's like, whoo, you're getting an awful lot of advice for setting yourself up for leaving me. So when you're listening to this, Stefan, don't worry, Sharni's not helping me here.
Yeah, and it's so funny. You've had you connecting me with Olivia is amazing. She actually lives her office is in Seattle, which is about three minutes away walk from where our relatives stay. So it's a small world, but yeah, she's fantastic. But I don't think he's got anything to worry about. Tell him you're fine. We're just all talking about personal branding.
Yeah, we're just about to make it to our 1 year anniversary. So you're all good, Stefan.
Yeah, he's fine.
So this has been awesome talking about the legal side of things, but tell us a little bit more about you, because you've said you're an avid reader, or as a child you were an avid reader, and I know that you've been very busy being a mother and starting your own business, etc. Are you still reading for pleasure, and you know, what kind of books do you love?
Oh, it has, do you know, it's changed. I was saying this to someone the other day. I wish I could go back. I'm really trying hard to go back to reading. So previous to the last couple of months, I'm on Audible. I'm a huge podcast fan. You know, I listen to your podcast. So I'm always listening to podcasts because trying to do it. But I must admit, I find these days, what I was saying to a friend of mine is that I grew up with books everywhere, to the point that I remember, because I ran out of reading my own books, I started reading my parents' books. So unfortunately, my mum was a crime novel and my dad liked horror. So I remember reading Stephen King's It back when I was 9 years of age, and then being completely traumatized and having nightmares, because I don't think a nine-year-old, if anyone's read it, it's about clowns, and I don't even really remember what's in it, but I remember being really scared. So it's one of those things where I've said, I really wish I had books, more books around the house, because at the moment we're reading off our phones a lot of the time, or our tablets, you know, so I wish I could read as much as I do. I probably don't get the chance as much, but it is one of my things for this year, is to get back into reading. My husband and I have bought the books that we want to read. We're on different sides of it. I'm tending at this stage to read a lot of business books. Yep. Atomic Habits, which is one that you've referred me to, is my next book to read. So that's it. So I'm reading a lot of self-help business books. Kay is on conspiracy theorist style books, which are heavy reading. So I'm going to leave those to him. But yeah, reading is definitely one of the hobbies that I like to have. And otherwise, it's really just catching up with friends and family. Like, you know, when you're juggling everything that you're juggling, you just don't get that chance to catch up. So you and I have talked about it. I'm a huge fan of gin or champagne. So it's generally catching up with friends over some bubbles or a G&T. That's generally my two hobbies. And I'm not sure catching up for drinks is a hobby, but it's mine. I'm going to take it.
It's one of my hobbies too. So yes, definitely.
I know you're not going to disagree with me.
Absolutely not. 4:30 and a Friday comes, it is definitely gin o'clock and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, to be honest, you've got, for anyone watching who doesn't follow Megan, and you should, she has great gin recommendations. I'm now just following behind her recommendations and catching up. So it's worthy enough to be able to follow you.
Don't worry, Sharni, my camera's just died, but I am still here. Okay, Sharni, we will wrap up now because I've disappeared, but tell everyone who's listening how they can find you.
Right. So I'm starting up my law firm later this month, which is called Align Family Law. I will be launching the website shortly. The best way to find me is on LinkedIn or on Instagram. Easiest ways to find me, it's just shani.muenda, which is M-W-E-N-D-A. And I know Megan will have it in her show notes as well. So by all means, get in contact with me. And yeah, that's it.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much, Sharni. It was awesome speaking to you as always.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks so much for listening to Personal Branding Exposed. If you enjoyed this episode or any of the others, then please listen to some more, but also share it with your friends and leave a review. I'm a pretty new podcast, so that means quite a lot for me, and I really appreciate your kind words. Social media, if you have any feedback or you just want to chat, really, send me a message. I'm normally found on Instagram or LinkedIn. They're where I like to hang out, but I do have Facebook if that's your thing. And also on the website, you can get my details there and you can get in touch. Thank you so much for getting this far. If you want a little bit more though, these episodes actually go out live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Western Standard Time here in Western Australia at 8 p.m. which if you're in Canada or America, that'll be first thing in the morning for you, so you can listen over your morning coffee. And if you're in the UK, it'll be over your lunch break. I speak to these amazing people every single Tuesday, and they just expose their personal brands to us. They tell us what makes them tick, what motivates them. We hear their stories of where they've come from and where they are now and how they got there. There's loads you can take from this, lots of motivation and inspiration. Like, these people are awesome and they've really niched down. They know what it is that they're doing, so there's so much to take away from them. I have got this amazing lineup of people coming up, so make sure it's in your diary, 8 p.m. Western Standard Time, and the podcast drops every Wednesday. Till next time.